moving, but nothing's coming out. I guess you got to do it all over again. Another time, I forget what it was, but something happened with a camera battery, and so I didn't make sure the camera had new batteries. So I think it was about 15 minutes in. I didn't realize that I preached the whole thing, went back, and I was missing half a sermon. Well, I got to go do it again, right? So I'm not sure if it was better the first time or the second time. You didn't even know you were getting the second time. But anyway, we won't have any of those issues today because we're right here, and you can hear it as it comes out of my mouth. And so I'll be grateful for that. But you know, even in that season when, you know, it's kind of a little bit odd getting used to speaking to a camera so much and video, the Lord still speaks. He still helps me. I believe that he still gave myself and others words to share, and I know from the testimonies that we heard that he was helping you. And even beyond this church family, receive it and be strengthened by it. But it is good to be back together again. You know, when I was thinking about the decision to have church this week and be back in our building, it seemed to me like it's just kind of like the first of a new season, right? Beginning something new. I don't know if it feels that way to you, but it feels that way to me. And I think it's significant to be able to come back together again. You know, it's not, we're making even a statement by doing this, and it's just a statement to the forces of darkness that we will not be held back, and we're going to move forward with new momentum and new strength, take back anything that was lost, gain back more in advance, and just continue to pursue the kingdom of God and see his will established and abundance released in our lives, the gospel released into our community, people brought to Christ, people discipled. This is yet going to be a great year. I really believe that in Christ. As I was hinting at earlier this Friday, as I was thinking about all these things, I kind of had some things in my mind that the Lord had spoken to me earlier in the week. But when we made the decision to kind of come here for Sunday, I started thinking more about first, and it was interesting when I opened Brother Jerry Savelle's newsletter. Has anyone read his partner letter from July yet? I know there's a few. So Dad's read it. You're going to get it again. Because, I was just kind of, as I was reading that, and I actually kind of glanced through it, set it aside. And then yesterday's like, go back to that thing. The Lord says, go back to that thing. I'm like, okay, I'm going back. And I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this. Because, it's not by accident the people that we're partnered with. Do you believe that? I believe the Lord has specific ministries and specific people that we're partnered with. And I love, Brother Jerry Savelle's newsletter is one of the ones I love getting. I love getting also the emails I get from Twin Lakes Ranch. They're so good, aren't they? I know the cooks get them. They're always just build you up and they'll strengthen and encourage you. It's not by accident that we're partnered with the ministries and the people that we're partnered with. And certainly we provide strength to them. We join our faith with theirs. We send them financial support, and that bears fruit all around the world. But they also strengthen us directly, even through their prayers and through the spiritual encouragement in things like newsletters. And so I thought, Brother Jerry, he's writing this partner letter to all his partners all over the world. It's for them, but it's also for us. And so I'm going to share quite a bit from his partner letter today, and I've added in a few things myself. And so if you've read that, you're going to get it again. It's going to be strength upon strength. You're getting a double dose, and we'll believe that the Lord will speak to us. Firsts are interesting. Firsts are something in our lives or in the human experience that are new and exciting, and oftentimes they break new ground, whether it's a new invention or a new feat or a new technological innovation. Think of the first time that man did powered flight. We used to think it was the Wright brothers, and we're not so sure if it was the Wright brothers anymore, but for the sake of, they will say the Wright brothers were the first to have powered flight, or the first man on the moon, right? Or the first time someone broke the 4-minute mile, even in regards to, things that happen in space, like the first time that a rocket was able to come up, and then this company called SpaceX was able to bring that rocket back down to Earth and reuse it again. Like, that was a huge thing for future space travel. So, the first time that medical advancements came and someone was able to have a heart transplant or a pacemaker. There's all these firsts, and they change our lives forever when these firsts happen. They cause us to expand our thinking and dream about new possibilities, and they break the status quo and set a new standard of what is possible in our lives. I started thinking about a few firsts in my life, and some of you might know this about me. I don't have the greatest memory for some of the things, and so I wish I remembered more of my firsts. But there's some that stick out in my mind. I remember the first time I rode a bike. Maybe it wasn't the first time I remember riding a bike, and it was a purple bike, right? I remember this little bike. It was purple, and I had it in the back alley in Flin Flon. This had been like 1979. I would have been like 3 and a half, maybe just turned 4 years old. And I remember, mom and dad kind of pushed me and getting, And I believe that as we went to one direction, probably north from our house, kind of went up a hill. And so they actually started by taking me to the top of the hill, and they kind of pushed me down the hill and had the momentum. And I was so excited, my first bike ride. I can remember that. I can remember I was thinking about sports competitions, and I didn't do a lot of team sports, but our school would go to some sports competitions actually in Saskatoon. The first time I won an individual award for archery, I was so proud of myself. I remember practicing archery at home, and I just thought I was the best archer around. And maybe it was my second year doing it, but the first year I was just a bit terrible. So I buckled down and practiced a little bit more and won a trophy or won a ribbon or something like that. And I was kind of proud of myself that I won an award in archery and whatever. I mean, I don't care about that now, but at the time it was a big deal for me. I think of things, in my life with Candace. I was thinking, and this might sound weird, I can't remember the first time we met. Most people say, I remember the first time I met my wife. I can't quite remember the first time that we met, probably because she didn't want to pay any attention to me. And so the Lord had to work in her life and caused me to be more attractive or appealing somehow. But I remember as we got to know each other and spend time, like for example, the first time that we shared a kiss, like I remember that. And I was so scared. Candace will tell the story sometimes, but that was the moment for me, like, whoa, this is real. Did that just happen? Maybe I'm telling too much here, but we were in the truck and I was so scared that after it happened, I kind of just threw her back across the truck, like, oh, what did I just do? It's like I had lost my virginity or something like that. I mean, it's just a kiss is all it was, right? But it was like, it was a new level. Like, things were no longer the same after that. I realized, okay, this is not just a friend. This is maybe something more, right? And so our first Marcus, I remember holding my first child. That's a powerful moment. Holding your first child in your arms and thinking, I don't know. Well, I guess I know how this happened, but like, like, this is just amazing that the Lord could bring the two of us together. And we have this little one that's part me and part Candace. And it happened. Like, it's just amazing thing to bring someone else in the world. Those of us who are parents, isn't it? That's incredible. That first, right? It's incredible the second time and the third time as well. And then we have spiritual firsts in our lives, right? Times when God brought us through a situation. The first time maybe that God brought us through a situation that we thought was just impossible. Or the first time that God surprised us with just a blessing that just manifested. Maybe it was an unexpected blessing. And then we just got a sudden display of God's goodness in our lives. Or something happened, maybe the first time that something happened in our lives and we realized I had no part to play in that. Like, God made that happen. That only could have been God that provided or protected or, the way the Lord made that promotion possible or whatever it was in your life. That time when you have that poignant moment where you realize that only happened because of God's intervention, divine intervention, and his willingness to express his goodness in my life. Those first mark us, don't they? I was thinking of other, spiritual firsts that you may have, like the first time I made a decision to ask Jesus into my heart. Now, the first time I remember doing it anyway, I think it probably happened earlier than that, but the first time I remember doing it was in a Sunday school in a church in Regina, Saskatchewan. And we were meeting in this school at the time, and there was a large auditorium, but then we would go to some of the school classrooms. I remember, I was probably been 5 years old at the time, and the teacher just saying, is there any children here that want to ask you your heart? And I remember responding to that. I think, again, probably I had done it earlier than that, but that's the first time I remember, and I have a memory of that moment. I remember I was 11 years old and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at church camp in they call it Maranatha Church Camp. It was at Long Beach, is that right? Or Long Lake. I don't know, it's in the middle of Saskatchewan, Long Lake in the middle of Saskatchewan. There's another name for it that I'm missing. Anyway, it was, Mom and Dad actually weren't there. For whatever reason, I was there with Pastor Dave Wells and their family. But I remember getting on the phone after the service and saying, Mom and Dad, guess what happened? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I can speak in tongues. And I was just so excited and had to share that with them. I remember that actually the first time that Candace and I were led to give an anonymous gift just to someone else in the church. We just had, for a while when we were first married, we're just trying to pay things off, but then there's a little bit extra increase, and then we're kind of thinking, we're going to maybe spend it here, and then the Lord spoke to us to sow it into someone else. The first time that we just released that, That was exciting. Do you remember that in Cranbrook? I even remember the family and the amount. And, you know, it's just that when the Lord leads us to do those things. The first time I witnessed a supernatural miracle in person was a neat thing. And that was in Medicine Hat. And there was a healing ministry that was there. And there was a young lady there that had one leg was shorter than the other. And in the ministry time, I was just called to be a part of that and to see her sitting on a chair and very visibly one leg is shorter than the other. And as hands were laid on her and she responded in faith, to see the other leg just kind of go like that, and then she got up and she no longer limped or had a hobble. She was just walking straight like that, just happened in front of our eyes. You remember those things. You remember those firsts, amen? I remember the first time that I was asked to, and I agreed to preach in church. That was another one of those scary moments in Medicine Hat. But you know, it was the start of a journey of the Lord bringing me to pastoring. I didn't think at the time I was going to be involved in pastoring, but my pastor said, what would you like to preach? And I agreed to do it. And so you remember these firsts. They're significant events in our lives that mark us. I believe that what the Lord is stirring me and wants to stir you today to get ready for more and more firsts. This is a season of firsts. We need to start setting our expectation to get ready for more and more firsts. You and I, in this next season, are going to start to experience some firsts. They're going to mark us forever. They're going to be significant things that our lives are not going to be the same after those firsts. You know, if you've ever heard Brother Jerry Savelle preach, it's one of the reasons why I like hearing Brother Jerry preach or even reading his books, because he's always telling stories of the first time God did this, the first time maybe he was led to sow and he was able to have a debt-free car, or debt-free home, or the first time he was able to give away an airplane. Not the first time he received an airplane, but the first time he had a paid-for, fully operational airplane that was a blessing to his ministry, and the Lord directed him to give it to someone else. You know, giving something away is oftentimes much more powerful than receiving something, right? Because it's a bold step of faith to give something away. There's nothing quite like watching God do a powerful first in your life. In Psalm 77:11, it says, but then I recall all you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. These are verses written by David. I think that as David was reading these verses, he was thinking of some firsts. He was someone who had a lot of powerful firsts in his life, wasn't he? Verse 12, they're constantly in my thought, these wonderful deeds. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. You know, and David was someone who experienced so many amazing things from the Lord. It was protection, and I got all kinds of key words here. Protection, provision, promotion, even the presence of God. David was someone who experienced so many of the firsts in mighty and powerful ways in his life. And so he says, I think about those things. Go back to verse 11. He says, I recall all you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. Are you remembering God's wonderful deeds of long ago? Are you remembering the firsts that he's done in your life? You know, I shared some of my firsts, some of my spiritual firsts. As we're talking, are you remembering some of the spiritual firsts that you've had, some of the first amazing things that God has done for you? How often do you think of those things? How often do you let those things stir you? How often do you bring them back to your memory so that you can believe for more firsts? Amen? In Psalm 22, verse 22, it says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. And then Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And when we taste of God's goodness, when we see that he's good, those firsts that we experience, they're not just for us. They're also meant for us to tell others, right? Aren't you glad that David, we have so many testimonies of God's goodness and God's power and his protection and provision and promotion and God's presence in David's life? Because they're not just for David, but they were recorded for generations upon generations of believers afterwards to get excited about the first that David experienced, how God moved mightily in his life. And of course, Scripture is full of many powerful testimonies of believers and people who sought after God and people who pursued God, and they experienced powerful firsts in many ways. The firsts that God has lined up for you aren't just for you. They're for you to share and declare in the midst of the assembly. That's what we're doing right now, right? We're in the midst of an assembly right now, and we're talking about God's goodness. And so one of the things that we've done in the past, and we're going to continue to do and give you opportunity, because spend, not today, but in the near future, is give you opportunity to share of God's goodness. How many of you, you know, you don't even have to have a specific one right now, but how many of you might have a testimony of God's goodness or faithfulness over the past while that you could possibly share? Is there anyone that would put a hand up and say, yeah, there is some of you. Praise God. And so you have, you know, you have manifestations of God's goodness in your lives that you, that come to mind right away, the way the Lord has helped you and taken care of you in this season, right? So there's testimonies. If you're thinking, well, I'm not sure, it's been a struggle, it's been a stretch, this has been, you know, the last 18 months has been like the wildest 5 years of my life. Kind of feels like that, right? The last 18 months has been like 5 or 10 years. If that's kind of how you're at, well, that's all right. There's more first ahead. There's God wants to restore some of those things perhaps that have been taken away. He wants to move you past some of the challenges that you've had and bring you into a new place of goodness and increase. Amen? You know, from the moment you begin your walk with God, you also begin to experience numerous new things that you never experienced before. I like hearing my father-in-law Bill's testimony because he was someone who God just changed so many things in your life right in a quick amount of time, right? And right away, you know, Bill started experiencing things, leading people to Jesus and being baptized with the Holy Spirit and experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, having prophetic words and words of knowledge. And you know, there was many firsts that came into your life right away, right, that changed you, that mark you forever. And that's what happens when you come to Christ. When we come to Christ, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. The New Living Translation says, the old life has gone, a new life has begun. When we come to Christ, new things start to happen in our lives, and we are a new thing. Do you know that God loves new things? He loves firsts. How many of you like new music? I'm someone who likes new music, you know? I'm not saying I don't like old music, but I mean, I can get really into an album or an artist, and I'll be listening to it for 2 or 3 months, but then I'm looking for something new and fresh. And, you know, and that's why one of the reasons why I think that that's a little bit of the heart of God, because we even see that in Scripture with David when he says, sing unto the Lord a new song. God is always wanting to do new things. He's always looking to birth new things in the lives of people. He's always looking to bring and see new people brought to Christ, brought into relationship. And then the most amazing thing is the birth of a new life in Christ. Amen? Someone who comes to Christ and a new thing is done. Someone new is brought into the kingdom. Someone new has the Spirit of God inside them. And they become a new person, someone who starts experiencing those firsts in their lives. Isaiah 43:19 says, and again, this is Isaiah the prophet expressing the heart of Jesus, or the heart of God, really. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? You know, the heart of our Heavenly Father is the heart of someone to do first. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to start something new, start something fresh. And I believe that that's the season that we're walking into. The season we're walking into is a season of firsts. You know, in Luke 5, it tells the story of Jesus, and there's a few different stories there, but what happens is Jesus is ends up doing ministry inside someone's home, and there's a paraplegic man that needs healing, and the place is so packed, and maybe there's people outside as well, that this man's friends can't get him to see Jesus. There's no way that Jesus can have, this man has any access to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't even yet know about him. What happened? We know the story. They tore the roof off the place to get the guy to Jesus, right? So I don't know what they did, but they started ripping off boards and throwing clay and straw and hay. And I was thinking about that. It must have been quite the experience to be in that house, and suddenly you start hearing noise and rattling, and dirt starts falling down, and then there's a crack of daylight, and they're probably thinking, what on earth is going on out there, right? And they probably said, what do you, stop, you're making a mess, you're making it dusty in here. Well, those guys were so determined, they weren't going to stop. They had to get their friend to see Jesus. They ripped the roof off the place, made a hole, and lowered this guy down in front of Jesus. And of course, we don't have time to read the whole story, but, you know, Jesus has this conversation. The first thing that Jesus doesn't offer healing to the man, he says, your sins are forgiven. And then some religious people around got offended and said, well, what do you mean? Who's this guy? How do you have the power to say your sins are forgiven? And Jesus says, well, what's more difficult, to say your sins are forgiven Or does it say, you're healed, rise up and walk? I'll prove to you I have the power to do both. And here's what's happened. In verse 22, he spoke directly to the paraplegic. He says, get up, take your bedroll, and go home. Without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, took his blanket, and he left for home, giving glory to God all the way. The people, I like how it says this in the Message translation. The people rubbed their eyes. They were stunned. They gave glory to God. Awestruck, they said, we've never seen anything like that. They had never seen a roof ripped off a house like that either. So this was truly a day of first for them. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And then to prove he had the power to forgive sins, he says, oh, and by the way, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and trots out of there giving glory to God. We've never seen anything like that. That was a day of firsts. This is the season of first for us. God has first for you, first for me, as we pursue him and pursue the things he has for us this year. I'm going to go ahead and read the prophetic word that God gave us for 2021. I know we've done this a few times. I actually read it a couple times during our video recordings as well. But we need to go back to this because this is for us for this year. We want to keep on putting it in front of us and reminding us, amen? God is telling us, his people, get ready for increase. I am desiring to pour out my spirit on the earth in a way that will manifest in signs and wonders, healings and miracles, provision and abundance, and goodness in every way. But I need people ready to receive. I need people of faith that are in a position to receive my goodness, just as a football receiver runs a pattern that places him in a position to receive a pass, and he places his body in such a way that shows he's ready and expecting to receive what is coming. That's a good word. Get ready to receive. Position yourself to receive. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, what position do you want me to be in? What posture would you like me to be in to receive what you have for me? Continuing, I'm looking to identify those people who have an expectation and a readiness to receive what I'm about to bring into their lives and whose priorities are aligned with mine so that the favor and blessing I'm about to bring accomplishes the purpose for which I will be sent. Going back to the football analogy, if I'm at a quarterback and the play has started and my receivers are out there, certainly there's the first option, right? Like, Will, you played football, right? Like, there's probably going to be one receiver that's the person that's supposed to receive the pass, and if he's not available, then there'll be a second option. Is that kind of how it works? But if none of them are looking, like, how can the quarterback throw a pass if all those receivers just decide not to look at the quarterback and not, you know, run their route and turn at the right time? Like, they're off, you know, if they just run off the field or keep on running straight or whatever, the quarterback's got that ball, and I guess he's going to have to run it himself or try and hand it off to someone else, but it's going to be totally done on the fly. The play that was designed to happen won't be able to happen. God's looking for people who are being intentional, doing the very specific things he's called them to do, turn, and then have an expectation to receive what he has for them, what he intends for them, so that the play that's intended to come to pass in their lives actually is able to happen. Amen? Continuing on the word then. Increase and blessing are for my people, for I love them and I'm faithful to them, but my goodness is a sign to the world, and the world must experience my love and goodness through the hands of God's people. The extravagant display and experience of my goodness, the very thing that will turn hearts toward me and build my kingdom in these last days, says the Lord. So have you experienced signs and wonders, healings and miracles, provision and God's in abundance? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you have experienced some of those things in some measure, and you're still believing and you're still standing for those things. Or maybe you're in a place where you're not sure that you're ready to believe for some of those things. Well, I believe this is a season to start getting ready to experience some of those firsts in our lives. If you've experienced them in some measure, well, now you can believe for the first time to experience them in a greater measure, greater healing, greater provision, greater anointing, greater goodness, greater breakthrough, greater abundance. Amen? Brother Jerry Savelle wrote in his new letter how God had told him, and he's kind of been a common theme for Brother Jerry, and if you've been following along and reading his monthly newsletters, that 2021 will be a year of firsts like no other. Expect them and continually praise God for them. And I was thinking about that, a year of firsts like no other. Well, 2020 was kind of a year of firsts for us. Some, not always in positive ways, right? Like, some of them were kind of challenging, right? Like, the first time that we were told, well, you're not supposed to have other people in your house, only your family. Well, that's kind of a first. The first time I stuck on that mask, I felt so silly and so awkward, right? There's a lot of weird firsts that we had, right? Not all of them were great, But there's some really good firsts as well, right? Like the first time they were able to have church online and have people beyond just this building hear God's word. That was pretty cool, right? The first time, I had someone give a testimony of being strengthened and encouraged by hearing that word online. So they weren't here in a church service, but they said, you know what? What I heard really ministered to me and spoke to me. Man, that blessed me. There was a lot of, and you're going to have a lot of different testimonies and different perspectives in your lives, but there's a lot of firsts that we've experienced, but more is yet to come. We're going to have an opportunity, I believe, for more firsts where we experience God's glory in his life. I want to go ahead and read another prophetic word. This is from Jerry Savelle, and the Lord actually gave him this on October 3rd, 2020. You'll see some similarities there to the word that the Lord spoke to me in December. And some of you have shared this with me, but I actually read it for myself fully last night. And I want to share it with you because I believe it'll encourage you and strengthen you the way it did for me. So this is Brother Jerry Savelle. A new era has begun. More and more signs and wonders will be seen in 2021. By the way, he's rhyming here. I'll try and read it. For those who heed my voice and obey my words, they'll experience my goodness and my power as never seen nor heard. They'll see the fruits of their faithfulness come bursting forth, and they'll prosper and flourish like never before. Abundance and overflow, that's what they'll see. I'll bring it to pass because of their love and their obedience to me. No longer will the enemy have the upper hand, for my spirit is moving, and an outpouring of my power is coming upon the land. Many triumphant victories will mark this new era, this season of firsts. Amen. It's what I've planned, so rest in me. Miracle after miracle, that's what I'll do. Decree it and receive it and know that it's true. Refuse to be swayed by what's said in the news. With me on your side, how can you lose? Isn't that a good word? Refuse to be swayed by what's in the news. I was flipping through it. Oh, let me finish this. So stay with my word. It's faithful and true. I'll bring it to pass, and great things I will do. So stay with me and my word. It's faithful and true. I'll bring it to pass. Great things I will do. I was flipping through a website last week, and why you should be concerned about the Delta variant or some kind of making it up. We cannot let ourselves be swayed by the headlines and the stuff that's coming out there, right? Because if that's what's feeding you, if that's what you're going to get your strength from, is CNN or Fox News or The National or CTV News or whatever, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to do it for you, right? You just got to let that stuff go, and probably the least you have of it, the better. Amen? But feeding yourself on the Word of God, going back to his promises, the word, what he's spoken to us here in our church, what he's spoken to our partners, the scriptures, the promises, the prophetic words. Go over prophetic words that the Lord has given to you that perhaps you have an audio recording or you've written them down. Whatever it is, it's going to feed your spirit. One of the things I was blessed when I was listening to Pastor Bill Johnson this last week is he was talking about working out and what does he do when he works out. And this earlier this year, I was on the treadmill quite a bit in the winter, and not something I enjoy in the least. I'm just telling you right now, like a half an hour on the treadmill, that is difficult for me. But what made it possible was I could set up my computer and watch a YouTube video, and then hopefully about 5 or 10 minutes in, I would get focused enough on the video that I could forget, at least for a few minutes, I was on a treadmill. And I know some of you do that. Like Steve is talking about being on his Nordic track. What, you set up like video of like people skiing or something like that, right? Yeah. Oh, you're on a different thing now. I got to hear about that, I'm sure. Oh, okay. You're not skiing in the middle of summer. We got to have something to distract you when you're on your treadmill. You better have something to distract you so you don't realize you're on a treadmill. Well, Brother Bill, when he's working out, he just listens to prophetic words that God's given him. And he either reads them or he's got it on, and he just feeds himself again and again on prophetic words that God's spoken to him or over his ministry, over Bethel Church. And I thought, that's a neat thing to go back and revisit what God has spoken over you. I just want to wrap it up here. So many times that as Christians, I believe that we can get just to a place where we're okay with how things are going. And, we get to a place where maybe we're not, even seeing victory after victory, but things are okay. We've got some challenges. We've moved past them. And, maybe we're in a maintenance phase. We're managing things all right. And what can happen is when you're not, there's enough coming in to pay the bills, and there's not stress in the relationships, and things are happening, and you're moving forward. Sometimes we get to the place where we kind of settle for that. Like, okay, this is all right. I'm not having to feel like I have to pray and fast every 3 days, and you know, I don't not you know, like, things are happening, and it's not one fire after another, and we kind of let ourselves kind of relax a little bit, and not extend our faith for some of the new things and the fresh things and the greater things that God wants to do in our life. I don't know, maybe no one else is like that, but that can happen to me. I can find myself in that place, and it's happened to me even a little bit over the summer, you know, because it's like, why am I going to spend a week at the lake, or you know, I don't have to, you know, I can have some time off this week and maybe do some things around the acreage or whatever, and you kind of get just focused on those other things, and life just continues on, you kind of just relax a little bit, and you get to a place where maybe you're not pressing in the way you were, you're not pursuing your relationship with the Lord quite the way you were. And I believe that the Lord wants to stir us in this season, even though we're still in July, we're still in summer, and it's still warm. It's the season of first. This is a new area. It's a new season. Sorry, a new era. It's a new season. It's a new time for us. And the Lord wants to do some firsts in our lives. You know that God never intended for you and I just to live completely normal, just vanilla, plain Jane, unremarkable lives? If you're in Christ, you were intended, and it's God's design for you to experience amazing firsts, amazing things that you can go and you can give a testimony of His goodness. And people say, I've never heard that before. I've never heard of that. I've never experienced anything like that before. That's the way God intends us to live our lives in Christ. He wants us to see things, new things, do new things, experience new things, tell others about new things, help others experience new things, because He's a God who enjoys new things and new life. So don't limit God, you know, and if the enemy is speaking to things and he's trying to keep you down and saying, well, just the way it is right now, that's the way it's going to be, and don't really hope for any more, cast that voice off, resist that thought, take that thought captive, recognize it's not coming from your spirit, and it's certainly not coming from the Lord, it's coming from the enemy, so you can take that thing captive, you can get rid of it, and then declare the opposite, say, no, things are going to change. This is a season of new things. This is a season of new growth, new increase, new opportunities, new levels, new victories. This is a season of firsts. This is a season where God is doing a new thing in my life. Amen? Let's say this together. Some firsts are coming my way. Some firsts are coming my way. God is doing new things in me. Let's say that. God is doing new things in me. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107:31 says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. You know, that's my prayer, my belief, that as we believe that and declare that, and wake up in the morning and say, God's doing some new things. God's doing some first. You know what? Today, I'm going to experience first in my life. As we position ourselves to experience God's goodness in our lives, we're going to see good things. We're going to be able to come back here in the assembly of the elders and declare His good works. We're going to be able to declare and share and say, you know what, you wouldn't believe what God did. And then someone else will be able to say, I've never heard of that before. I'm going to believe for that in my life as well. Amen? I believe this is a word for us today. And so thank you for receiving it in faith. We're going to believe together that God's doing first among us. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to gather here. We thank You for stirring us and reminding us that You're a God who loves to do new things. You're the God of first. You're the God who brings us new life as we receive the Spirit of God inside us. We are new creations designed to do new things and experience first, amazing first in our lives that mark us, that are significant moments, that are milestones in our lives that change us and mark us forever, Lord. And so we release first into Solid Rock Church right now. We release just a greater degree of firsts of breakthrough and provision and protection and promotion and abundance and increase and just first opportunities to share lives, Your goodness with specific people. We declare first opportunities to share the gospel, or perhaps there's been a closed door or not an opportunity in the past. I just feel to say this prophetically over this church, there are going to be people that are going to come to church for the first time this year that have never come to church before because you've taken the first opportunity to ask them to come to church. We release that in the name of Jesus. People coming and hearing the gospel for the first time, coming to church for the first time, hearing about the good news of Jesus for the first time, and then responding to him for the first time. We declare in faith that the next 6 months of 2021 are a year of firsts. We will experience more firsts than ever before. We will experience greater firsts than ever before. We release them now in faith. We say we are in position to receive, but we're also in a position to obey as you ask us to move out in faith and do those first things that you're asking to do. We're going to respond to the first thing, the first way, the first time. We're going to listen to the first time you speak to us. Our first response is going to be a response of willingness and surrender to what you're asking us to do. We declare and believe all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you go forth, Lord, that you are enabling us, Lord, you are strengthening us. We declare a blessing for all who are here, and that we go out and bring that blessing and that favor and that anointing to others. In your name, amen. Thank you for joining us for Church of Solid Rock. If you'd like prayer and someone to stand with you, we'll have a prayer team and people that can come and just agree with you and declare God's blessing and release of his presence over your life. Go forth, be blessed, and release in the name of Jesus.